Okay, so the Mizra begins. L'Matzeach Levin Hashem L'David Hashadim L'Hashem Azdivri Hashir Azayis B'Yoyim Hitzil Hashem Hashem Mikav Kol Levav V'Miyad Shol. So we already spent 2 days on this, just trying to crack through what's going on here as the Hagamah. So let's try to go through the Pesukim as quick as we can. And I'm warning Ablaze, where are you? In Florida?
No, I'm standing. Like, I'm in my kitchen.
Oh, you're in your kitchen?
Yeah. Sunday morning, I'm flying.
I'm sorry?
Sunday morning.
I can't hear.
Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. Oh, you're going away Sunday. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, you have a different background, though. That's why they recognize it. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get a little review. Over here we have this Mizmar. Let's see over here. Let's just run through very quickly. Let's see some Sukkim. First we have, it says the Mitzudah is David. The Mitzudah is David. It says, B'yoy B'tzil, Ezek, Nusay, Shemitzel, Mikol HaTelo Ois. We said this right. We said the whole day on this, that when David composed this Mizmar in his old age. David lived to the age of 70. David died when he was exactly 70 years old. We know that David was only supposed to live for 3 months. And Adam HaRishon gave David 70 years of his life. So that should mean that David should have lived 70 years and 3 months. Okay, so how come David should have really lived 70 years and 3 months, but David only lived 70 years? So what happened to the 3 months? I don't know. Right? Doesn't it say in Chazal David was only, maybe David was only supposed to live for a few moments? I don't know. Okay, let's put it aside. But when David was Zokain, he composed this, reflecting on his life, Shnitzel, Mikol, Hatla Ois, all of the difficulties, Oy, Bechol, Eish, second interpretation, Bechol Eish, Shayinitzel, Me'ezet, Sar, Oz, Yashir, Hashira, Hazaz. Whenever David was safe from any tragedy, David sang, this was sung, the Yoim is meant to be implied. It was continuous. David sang the Shira often. Rashi, B'yom Mitzil Hashem Oso, Kishe Hizkin, Ukvar Avru Olof Kol Tzor Roisov, V'nitzol Mehem. That's what the Mitzudah stuff is saying in different words. U'miyad Shol, Rashi is coming to tackle the question why we also mention Shol separately. And Rashi says, why? Because Shvehaloi Shol B'chlal Hoya, Elo Lefi Shohoya Kosha Lov V'roitfo Yoyser Mikulon. Rashi says something very, very shocking, that Shaul was the worst. Shaul was more difficult, and it was a more difficult adversary than all of the other adversaries. V'roitfo yoyser mikulam, kayoyse b'dover ato oimer, ru'u es ha'aretz v'yes yirichoy. Like it says, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, look, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael, but I'm giving you the opportunity to see the land, and Hashem divides up Eretz Yisrael into two parts. Ru'es ha'aretz, the S yirichoy.
Why does Rashi say that the most difficult nisayon to David was Shaul?
Because the pasuk says
his sons rebelled against him, wanted to kill him. Isn't that much worse?
It seems not. You're saying a very good question, but it seems that the story with Shaul, his own private life was not as. I don't know, you're asking a very tough question, but Rashi is telling us that the different episodes of Shaul, David grew up in the lap of Shaul. He grew up in the palace. He was Shaul's, he carried his weapons. He carried Shaul's weapons to war. He married his daughter.
He was. I'm
sorry?
He played the harp, right?
David played musical instruments. He composed the whole Sefer Tehillim.
He wrote this before he had the trouble.
No, but okay.
And so that Rashi is saying what he's thinking, what was on David's mind when he wrote this. That's why it says Miyad Shol, because when David wrote this, that's what he was thinking. He didn't have the trouble with his children
good,
yet.
Good.
But Rashi, in his first interpretation, says Kishahizkin. Rashi says.
Yeah. Yesterday I explained it the other way. So it's in Kabod, you didn't want to record in separate healing. The fact that Shaul was Oyev. You have
to call
Shaul.
Okay, so Kali is saying a very nice word. You don't want to call the Melech Yisrael Shaul was the Bechir Hashem, the chosen of Hashem. So he did not want to give the impression that Shaul was his enemy. You don't say about the Melech of Klal Yisrael, the chosen of Hashem, that he's your enemy. So we take Shohu out of the term Oivov. There are the enemies without, the non-Jewish, the wicked enemies, and don't include Shoal in that category, even though Shoal caused David grief. But you don't call Shoal by the term an enemy, Oyev, because of his sanctity. He's the Bechir Hashem. That's a beautiful pshat. I'm telling you, saying all this is good stuff.
It's based on the whole idea that he says, why does it say Aloyev? I mean, all the Mepharshim should deal with that. Let's make sure it's an enemy.
Not an enemy. Not just something you're jealous of. Very good. So okay, we have some very chidishim here. So review. Rashi says, when was this composed? When he was kishehizkin. Ukvar avru olav kol tzoroisav. All of the difficulties were passed. V'nitzol mehem. U'miyad shol v'haloi shol b'chlal hoya. Ela Rashi's interpretation is, l'fisho hoya koshe olav. Shol yafu study tanach. We don't know that you have to study Shmuel inside out. Of clarity in Sefer Shmuel, we will discover that the difficulties that David faced, the challenges of Shaul were more intense than the challenges of his own children. That's what Rashi is saying. Rav Kalman is saying a different mahalich. We don't want to include Shaul in the term an oyev. That's not proper. And this requires now. This opens up new insight into what it says in the beginning of Devarim. Hashem says to Moshe, you will not enter into Eretz Yisrael. The most I will grant you is the ability to look at the land. You'll go up to Arvei Smoyav and you'll gaze upon the whole Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem singles out Yericho. Why? Why does Hashem single out Yericho more than Yerushalayim, any other part of the land? Any other? Tel Aviv? Why does Hashem sing Bnei Brak? Why does Hashem single out Yericho? Obviously, there's something very special about Yericho. It wasn't for nothing that Yericho was the first city. It was the entrance. They could have entered the land from many different locations. Why did they enter the land from Yericho? They could enter, there's a whole boundary. Go up and down. Why from there? Obviously, there's something very special, very unique, which I don't know. You have to learn, maybe learn instead of Yeshua. Get more clarity why it's so special.
It was always
Had
water.
That's not the only place. I don't know the whole history.
You know that?
What?
You know
I look at the map. Look at the map. That's the only place. Just because it's you look. There's
it was always the.
Okay, it's a stronghold. It's a the central highway. You know, ordinarily when you go to war, you don't go on the front door. You come in, you come in from the side. I mean, I don't know the whole art of warfare. We don't know exactly what's going on then, all the details. But it just can't be that Yericho was the only way to get into the land. That's not
the entrance.
That's where they came.
But it's not the only entrance. That's the only entrance. Go look at the map. That's the only entrance. You can come into the land. There's a whole border. You can come in from the north, you can come from the south, you can come this way, come that way. That's the only way to go into Eretz Yisrael.
Well, no, you're right. Absolutely not. Except that Al-Pi Hashem Yachanu, Al-Pi Hashem Yisrael, and
okay.
God guided them to that spot.
So Hashem is showing Yericho.
Where they entered from.
But the fact that he's singling out Yericho, and Hashem is saying to Moshe, that according to Rashi's interpretation, look at the land and look at Yericho. Yericho is shokol keneged kula. Just like here, Shaul, the challenges that David faced from Shaul was shokol keneged all of the challenges of his life. So too, Yericho, the chavivus, the vision of seeing Yericho is shokol keneged the whole Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? Why is that so? There's something special about Yericho which we need to uncover, and I don't know what it is. But Rashi here is saying something very, very powerful. Rashi over here, okay, if you didn't see this Rashi, you would say, why Yericho? Like what you said, because where Hashem positioned Moshe Rabbeinu Arvei Smoyav relative to the entrance into Eretz Yisrael, Yericho was right in front of him. Okay, so Hashem, look.
There are a number of references to Yericho which are difficult to understand. Like, the days of Yahshua ben Nun for Megillah reading.
Right.
The sound could be heard.
Oh, the sound. That when the Kohen Gadol said Baruch Shem, said Baruch Shem, he said the Shem Hashem, you can hear the Shem Hashem all the way until Yericha.
And sometimes it's visual.
And the Ketores, you can sense the fragrance of the Ketores all the way until Yericha. So there are many interpretations what this means, but Rashi here is definitely opening up our eyes that there's something unique about Yericha. When Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I want to show you the land, and Yericha, what does that mean? If not for this Rashi, you would say, okay, listen, this is where they encamped, Arvos Moav, what is right in front of them, Yericha. This is going to be the first. Rashi here says in this pasuk, Mikav kol oivav, Mikav shol, why is shol singled out? Because it was koshe mikulam, shokul keneged kulam. Just like where it says in Eretz Yisrael, the whole Eretz Yisrael and Yericha, shokul keneged the whole Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rashi is saying. That's not the way you would understand the pasuk if not for this Rashi. When you learn, there's Eretz Yisrael. And no, Yericha is a strategic point of entry. It's the first, it's significant, but to say that it's shokel keneged the whole Eretz Yisrael, we never heard this. Yerushalayim is shokel keneged the whole Eretz Yisrael. Chevron is shokel. You're going to go say that Yericha? Who ever heard of this?
Maybe because Yericha was a walled city and God wanted to start it off with a big bang to say that it would seem to be impregnable, and if you make a roshim by doing that, that's why the Haftorah ends that we say, Namogu kol yoshvei yoretz. In other words, he wanted to set the stage by getting the other people. If they made it into Yericho, then listen, this is, it looks bad for the rest of the Yoshvei Haaretz. I mean, I'm just...
Okay, yeah,
it's a
quick okay.
Speculation.
This is the only city, that Yehoshua sent to Yericho.
But that's where he was.
Oh, so you're getting more. Okay. Yericha is a subject to itself. Yericha, you open up all the Mamar Chazal to uncover all the secrets of Yericha. Obviously, Yericha is a big, big topic. The significance of Yericha, they made a neder they're not going to take from the halal, from the spoils of war. We also do know that all of the kings of the world had a summer, a vacation village in Yericha. It was a place that was very cherished by the entire world. Every single king in the world. And that was what happened. That's what happened with Achan. Achan, he took from the spoils of what did he take, Achan? He took a garment. He took a Babylonian garment. What do you mean a Babylonian garment? The king of Babel had a vacation village, a vacation home in Yericho, like every other king. And in his home, he had, some spare clothing. And it was a special garment. It was a Babylonian garment that he wore. And Achaz, all the things he could have taken from Yericho, he took this garment, this aderes, this cloak, that had the trimmings of Babel. Okay, so there's something unique about Yericho. Now let's go further. Let's now go to Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis says, Vayomani said, Erchomichon, Hashem Chizki. This word is a very unusual word, and a lot of the Mefarshim here struggle to precisely define the word. The word Erchomich obviously means the word of Rachem, Rachmanus. But how is it? But it's being used here in a very unusual form. So let's first see the Mitzvah of it. Let's look even in the Mishnah of Siyam. Er chomecha, inyan ahava v'chiba. He does not say it means rachamim. Rachamim obviously goes hand in hand with love, and ahava v'chiba. They go hand in hand, but the emphasis is basically David is saying, "I love you, Hashem." Now, is that what it means? Let's look at it again. Er chomecha, inyan ahava v'chiba. There is no mitzvahs David. Look at Rashi. Rashi erchamicha, hovicha. Ki demetargem v'ohafta, like it says, we say this every single day in davening. V'ohafta es Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha. And the targum of v'ohafta means v'sirchan. So here, look at the targum together. V'amar. Ah, and this targum over here in our Tehillim is not the same targum. It's not targum Ungulus. It's not targum Yoinason ben Uzil. Okay, it's a different targum. Who exactly wrote the targum on kisuvim, it's not so simple. But whatever it says, va'amar, David says, acha bevino. I love you. I love you, Hashem. I love you. Let's see what it says in the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra, it says, he explains a little bit this on Pasuk Beis, Vayomar, Bilas Rachamim, Bechol HaMikro Mehabinyon HaKoveid. The word Rachamim, it's a strong word. It connotes an intensity of mercy. The word Ve'er Chomecha, which obviously has the same middle letters, Reish, Ches, Lem, the vowels are very different. Mibinyan Hakal. It's a lighter form of mercy. Ve'inenu Poyel Yoytze, it is not what we call a verb. It's not a verb. It's not, no, an active, when he says active, it really means like a verb. There's no action taking place. Which then means, al derech bonai yitzouni, yotsu mimeni, my children have left me. So what is it? It's like in the past tense. Let's read further. Chazaktani, chazakta mimeni, v'ze avakesh, and over here, what does it mean over here in this pasuk? I seek from you mercy. In other words, there are two different ways to ask Hashem for help. You can say, Hashem, show me, it's like a demand. The way that we ordinarily use the word is, grant us rachamim. It's a demand. Hashem, have rachmonis upon us. It's active. Let the need of rachamim, let it be activated. Let it go into motion. Hashem, have rachmonis. Show rachmonis. Or, I'm not saying it correctly. The rachamim should be triggered. This word, it means avakesh rachamim imcha. What you're saying is, Hashem, I acknowledge you possess a midah of rachamim, and use it well. Use it well on our behalf, when you want. When you ordinarily use the word racham means now. That's basically the difference we're going to just focus on. When you say the word rachamim, when you ask Hashem for rachamim, it means now. The midah of rachamim should immediately go forth. When you use the word in this way, vayomar er chomecha, Hashem, I acknowledge that you possess a midah of rachamim, and in the right time, let it go forth from before you. But you're not demanding that it should come forth right now. It's a very subtle difference. That's what Ibn Ezra is saying. He's saying it means rachamim, and it's rachamim bebinyan hakal. Okay, v'yesh, some say, k'mo targum oy havcha. Some say, no, it's I love you. Now, what Ibn Ezra has just done for us is he's basically taking this word and showing that it's mikotze lakotze. According to what it says in the Mitzudos, David, and what it says in Rashi, who is the speaker? David is the speaker. David is saying, I love you. It's all about me here. I love you, Hashem. According to Ibn Ezra and other commentators, David is not saying, I love you. David is saying, Hashem, please show me that you love me. And the way you're going to show that you love me is by you showing me rachamim. Okay, so that's a major difference. Who is the subject? Who is the subject of this word? Is David the subject of this word, or is Hashem the subject of this word? Rachamim and ahava pretty much are two sides of the same coin. Why do you have rachamim upon someone? Because you love them. Not necessarily. I mean, you have to go talk to a big psychologist to analyze what exactly how these emotions work. But generally speaking, something that you love, you have mercy upon. Who is the one that is giving, that is expressing themselves? According to Rashi, David is saying, I have rachamim upon you, Hashem. That sounds a little funny, right? I have rachmanis on you, Hashem. Hashem doesn't need your rachmanis. It means I love you, because rachamim and ahava are really the same. David is making a statement, I love you. According to the Ibn Ezra, no, David is saying, is begging Hashem, Hashem, please show me rachamim. Okay. Now, by the way,
Archemcha means I love you.
No, that's according to Rashi. That's according to Rashi. According to Ibn Ezra. According to the Mitzudos. That's according to Rashi and the Mitzudos. According to Ibn Ezra, it does not mean that. It means David is asking Hashem, Hashem, show me rachamim.
What is the word
Erchomicha? It's a sophisticated, I don't know grammar. It is a sophisticated.
Ibn Ezra said it, not a regular bin.
Look at the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra, Pasuk Bey, says, Milas rachamim b'chol ha-mikra me'abinyin ha-kaved.
In intensity.
It's a verb. Show us rachamim. Show us rachamim. Have rachmonis upon us. It's happening now. The midah of rachamim, when you ask Hashem for rachamim, it's coming forth. It's like a river. It's flowing. When you take the word rachem, and you use it in this verse, erchomecha, it means, may it be that the midah of rachamim, when it's convenient for you, Hashem, business hours, after you have a cup of coffee and a piece of cake, and you answer all your phone calls, take care of the email. When it's convenient for you, may the midah of rachamim go forth before you towards us.
So I just looked something up. I know there's a name, Ruchama, which I know comes from the Bible, and I looked up what the definitions are. And it says both someone who is beloved or someone who has received mercy.
Received. Mercy. Okay, so that's a different form of the word. That's ruchama. Here,
the name that's used is lo ruchama.
Here, the word, sorry, lo ruchama, exactly. Here, right. The word, okay, this is a machlokes, a very fundamental machlokes between two camps, Rashi and the Mitzudos. Who is the subject of this word? According to Rashi and the Mitzudos David, the subject is David. David is making a declaration. Hashem, I love you. Okay, it's very, very romantic. Hashem, I love you. According to the Ibn Ezra, David is not expressing his love for Hashem. David's a beggar. Hashem, have rachmonis upon me. So why doesn't David say the classic word of rachem olai? Because David here is gentle. When the regular standard word that we're familiar with, rachem oleinu, means this moment. The word rachamim, rachem oleinu, means we don't have time to waste. We don't have a second to waste. Right now, open up the dam. Let the flow of rachmonis come and flow and overtake us. When you ask Hashem have rachmonis upon us in a binyan kal, meaning with a lack, with not a demand, take away some of the intensity, means Hashem, I'm very well aware that you have something in your safety deposit vault called rachmonis. We know we can use some of it. So at your convenience, we don't want to put too much pressure on you. At your convenience, you know, now it's Friday. Let's wait until next Tuesday, you know, at 11 o'clock, after you settle down in the office, you have a cup of coffee, take care of all your business. Maybe then you should remember us, open up the safe, take out the midah of rachmanus, and let it go before us. It's a binyan kal, but what of saying rachem oleinu. It's an unusual form of the word. But the main thrust is, who is the speaker? Who is the subject? According to the Ibn Ezra, Hashem is the subject of the rachamim. Hashem, may you bestow upon us the rachamim with a binyan kal. Whereas according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, David is the speaker, and David says, Hashem, I love you. I have rachmanis upon you. There's no such thing as a human being having rachmanis on Hashem. He does need a rachmanis. What it means is, rachmanis is synonymous with ahava. David is the subject. Hashem, I love you. Okay, this is the machlokes between these. Look over here at the Malbim. The Malbim also gets involved in this discussion. And the Rav Malbim says, Pasuk Beis, which is the last line of Pasuk Beis, Vayomar Erchomcha, the very last line, V'yesh Mefarshim, Avakesh rachamim mimcha. Have rachmanis upon us. Exactly what it said in the Ibn Ezra. If you go up, he then says what it says in the Masudah. He presents both. Now let's go back to the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of the Malbum. Pasuk Beis, page 130. No, I'm sorry. I meant the Radak. On page 139. Let's read the whole Radak very quickly. Vayoymar, er chomcha, haches nikreis bekamatz chataf. Okay, let's get a little bit too complicated. Okay, Meshekel, I don't want to go through the grammar. Upe wushoy, hovecha. Which means, I love you. I love you, Hashem. Okay, and then we're gonna then you skip down to the very last line, the Yesh Mefarshim, Erchomicha, Avakesh Rachamimimcha. Both of these Perushim are presented here in the Radak, when it says in Rashi, and when it says in the Mitzudos David. And when it says in Rashi, and when it says in the Ibn Ezra. Okay, let's now move ahead. Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, Hashem Sali Umitzudasi. Hashem, you are my rock. Umitzudasi, you are my fortress. Umifalti, and you are my escape. The escape room on Avenue M. I always wonder what's in that building. The escape room. What's in there? You escape to another planet? What? They closed it? How do they pay the rent? Oh, on Avenue M. Umifalti. You are my salvation. You're a place. You're my. The Mitzudah Sion says, "Inyan Hatzalah." You're the one who saves me. Okay, Keli. I'm assuming this is a holy word. Keli, you are my God. Kel. Keli, Lama Azavtani. Put him. The Mizmar of Chavbeis. Mizmar coming to the Mizmar Chavbeis. This is Esther Hamalka. When Esther Hamalka came before Achashverosh to Mevakesh Rachamim. The Shechina left her. And what did she say? Keili, Keili, lama azavtani. Why did you abandon me at this moment, this critical moment? Here is the same thing. See, David only said Keili once. Esther said Keili twice. Esther comes from Sho'ol HaMelech. David, that's the two lines of Malchus. David and Sho'ol. Malchus Yosef, Malchus Beis David, Malchus of Yosef. Yosef, his descendant, said, So Esther is from the Malchus of Shaul. And Shaul, his line of Malchus was Esther. Keili, Keili, twice. David, he only says it once. Keili. He doesn't say Keili, Keili, only once. Let's see. Tsuri, you are my rock. So many different words. We have with a sel. What's the chilek with a sela and a tsur? I don't know. What is a fortress? A fortress is a structure that's made from multiple stones. Umifalti is a general word. You are my salvation. Hatzalah. You're an escape. Okay. Keli, you're my God. Tzur, you're my rock. Echesevo, you are the one in whom I seek refuge. Magini, you are my shield. The Keren Yishi, you are the horn of my salvation. Miskabai, you are my stronghold. Many, many words which are obviously very hard. Each word is probably jam-packed with mounds of metaphors and symbolism of what each one of these words mean. Let me just give you a general mashal in Yonah D'Yomer. I came across something from a chutna, Zeche Tzachet Racha, it blew my mind. It opens up a whole new world in commentary, and he said, what is the chilik between Purim and Shushan Purim? And you study this in the Megillah. And the reason why it's very relevant, the only reason why I came across was because when it comes to, you know, already it's over, but this year we had a double Adar. Today is Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis, and in Adar Rishon we had Purim Katar. And in Shulchan Aruch, this Machloike, the Mechaber says that there's a question, should you celebrate Purim Katar? And then the Mechaber presents two opinions. And then the Ramah says, we don't celebrate. We don't celebrate Purim Katan. No celebration. The Yeshayimrim, a little bit, just ma'at, just maybe.
Did he say
that? What? No, there are more? Maybe he did, who knows? That. Maybe he did, I don't know. Lubavitch is very makbid not to celebrate Purim Katan. I don't know if they say, they don't ever say Tachlan, but Lubavitch is very makbid not to celebrate Purim Katan. We had to discuss this yesterday.
Yeah.
Because yesterday, Menashe, right. But okay, so the Ramah and says, a little bit, a little bit. If you look in the Sephardim, in the holy books, what about Shushan Pur, Katan? We don't say Tachanun. We don't say Tachanun on Shushan Pur. That's the Minigah. We don't say Tachanun on Shushan Pur.
We don't have Yom Chosin, you don't fast.
You don't, on Shushan Pur. But is there an Indian to be Marbe Besuda Kitsas on Shushan Purim Katan? No, nothing. Ashkenaz minigram ma'am. Even it could even quote the Mechaber. You have to go back and check what it says in the Shulchan Aruch in Om Farshim. Purim Katan Yud Dalid Adar Rishayim. This whole big discussion. You have a big celebration, little celebration, no celebration, but there's no discussion regarding Shushan Purim Katan. Even those that celebrate a Purim Katan don't get too excited about Shushan Purim Katan. Why not? Once you celebrate, celebrate. What's the problem over here? Who doesn't want to have a celebration? Rav Huna says he doesn't answer this question directly, but he says an incredible chiddush, which yeah, when you learn these types of sukkim, you can't ignore this yisoid. And he says there's the fundamental difference between Purim and Shushan Purim. Yerushalayim, they celebrate Shushan Purim. Every city that was warm, most Yeshua Ben Nun is. Purim is a celebration of defense. Shushan Purim is a celebration of offense. It is an offensive battle. After Purim was over, they were saved. Read the Megillah. They were under attack. It was Gzeirah L'Hashvi L'Harugah B'Tzchol HaYudim Minar on the 13th day. And V'nochu Mi'ayveihem. And on day 14, wow, the battle was called for day 13, and they survived. And day 14, V'nochu Mi'ayveihem. Esther says to Achashverosh, give us one more day. What's the one more day? What do you need one more day? The license that the Jewish people received, that the God, the world received to destroy the Jewish people, the license was only for day 13. There was no license to go kill Jews on day 14. So day 13, there was a gzera, lahashmid, laharug, ulaabed, eskola yehudim, on day 13. The Jewish people were on the defense. They're going to kill us. So what do? They took up arms to protect themselves. And Esther got it from the Melech, a special gezerah attack on. You're allowed to defend yourselves. And anyone that in an act of self defense kills an Amaleki in an act of self defense, good for you. You got permission. So that's it. It's over. What then did Esther ask that in Shushan Habira we should have one more day? You don't need another day. The license to kill was only given for day 13, not day 14. The answer is we want to go on the offense. Day 14 was a bakasha. Esther was bold. We were allowed to defend ourselves on day 13. We now want to go on the offensive on day 14 and fight. And Achashverosh said yes. And then on day 15, v'nochu me'oiveya. So the result is, according to Rav Huna, an incredible chiddush, is the difference between Purim and Shushan Purim. Purim is a celebration of self-defense. Shushan Purim is a celebration of a preemptive strike, an offensive war, success in offensive maneuvers. Now, what's Purim Katan? Purim Katan is a minor Purim. When you take a step back to celebrate Purim Katan, all that it means, you don't go on the offense. If your person, like in Golos, we don't go on the offensive. You have to obviously nuance this idea and explain in much more detail, but if we're going to have a Purim Katan to celebrate, certainly throughout the entire our history we're always under attack, and miraculously we have survived, but you don't make in Golos in the category of Katan a celebration of offensive of preemptive attacks. That's a Hayru Asha, whenever it's necessary for Klal Yisrael to go on the offense, for whatever the reason, that is not something you ever celebrate. It's not for nothing that in Israel, the armed forces are called the Israeli Defense Force. Okay, and you don't have anywhere, you don't have a, there's probably no army, any army in the world that is humble to call their armed forces Israeli Defense. There are armies in the world?
This came up not that
well.
Right.
I told you there are half a dozen of them at least.
In the world.
Yeah, we have the government, the armed forces is called the Defense Department.
This is the chilek between Purim. It's an incredible. It's almost blatantly obvious in the Megillah, the difference between day 14 between Purim and Shushan Purim. Purim is a celebration of defense. Shushan Purim is a celebration of an offensive, saying it correctly, of going on the offense, going out to fight. You take the initiative. That is not so simple. That is something only in Yerushalayim, only in the Eretz Yisrael. In Golus, you don't go, this is not our world. We're in dangerous territory. Jews generally keep quiet. Don't look to go and conquer and make trouble. It's just gonna arouse the goyim and it's not gonna be good for us. So why am I mentioning this? Because over here we have a pasuk over here, and you want to take each word of the pasuk. What are these words? Are these words defensive words, or are these words which represent power in going forward on the offensive approach? So Hashem Sali, you are my rock. What does that mean? Hashem says to Moshe, I'm going to pass by. I want you to hide in Benikve Hasela. A cella in Tanakh usually refers to. Defense, to protect yourself. In the cleft, the sakosi, what does it say? What does it say? What does it say in the Rabbi Messi? What does it say in the Pasuk? Hashem says,
sakosi ogri, lefad
ogri. Sakosi. But what's the, Hashem says to Moshe, you shall go. Where does he tell him to go? Oh, the tzur. Oh, benikras tzur. The tzur. Not selah. Okay, so this is, these words have to be defined. When you talk about different terms, the first thing you have to ask, is this defensive or offensive? And here you have a collection of words, and it needs to be defined better, which I don't know. Hashem, you are my rock. Then umitsudasi, you are my fortress. What's a fortress for? What is a mitsuda? Some say the mitsudas David. Some say the mitsudas David was for defense. It's a big, big tower where you have vantage, where you can look out, you can see from far what's going on. Why do you have that tower? To plan where to go fight, or it's to see if the enemy is coming, if you're under attack. Is the purpose of a mitsuda, is the purpose
it's
of these
defensive.
Towers? Defensive, okay.
That's why the Torah uses the lashon. If you're going out, that's offensive.
Umifalti, to escape, that's certainly defensive. To be defensive. Kaili, you are Kaili is already a little bit different. Kaili is yesh le'el yodi. I have power to do whatever I want. That's offensive. Tsur, you are my rock. What is the difference between the word tsur and sali? I don't know. Maybe one has a leaning towards acknowledging that Hashem defends us, and it's that sheni Hashem gives us koyach to fight, to go on the offensive. Eches sebo l'chor certainly means to defense. To be shielded. Mogini, a shield, that's certainly defensive. The Karen Yishin, no. Karen, a horn, you had by the two kings, the only time in Jewish history when the Malchi Yisrael, the Malchi Yehuda, they had peace with each other, and they had a debate, should they go make a fight? And there was a Navi Sheki who made the Karenei Barzel. Be'ele tinagach es aram. The fight. When you talk about a Karen, you're going on the offensive. Rosh Hashanah, when you lift up the shofar, think about now it is a whole new meaning. What are you doing on Rosh Hashanah? Are you on the defense? Or are you going out to battle? The very fact, that's the chilling between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you're on the defense. Chotasi, Yovisi, Poshati, Hashem, save me from myself. What is Rosh Hashanah? Offensive. You take out a shofar. A shofar is fight. You go forward. You make demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You go out to battle. And the Yom Kippur, retreat. retreat, protect yourself from the Satan who's coming to attack. Rosh Hashanah, it's not for nothing that the Koyach of Tefillah is captured with the Shofar. Because the Shofar is the Koyach of go out, to fight. A Kerem. Yom Kippur, we're under attack. The Satan is coming to get us. Hide. Where are you going to hide from the Satan? Where are you going to hide? Teshuvah. Why is Purim called, why is Yom HaKippurim called Kippurim? What was Purim all about? A defensive battle war. There was a gezeira lahashmi laharugu lavidetz kol ayudim min aviyad zaken. So what did Ahasuerus, so what did Esther do? We have to defend ourselves. We have to defend ourselves. It was a battle of defense. It was Yom HaKippurim is Kippurim. Just like Purim was a battle of defense, that's what Yom Kippur is. What then is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is Shushan Purim. Go out on the offense. You take the shofar, the keren yishi, the karnei barzel, the elu, the nagach, is the gore, to go out and fight. Magini, the keren yishi, you are the keren of my salvation. Misgabi, my stronghold. This sounds like an offensive. When you come and you reach, when you come and you conquer, what do? You go to the highest place and you put up your flag. You come, you take down the flag of the enemy and you put up your flag. My stronghold, we have conquered, we have conquered. Rosh Hashanah is Shushan Purim. And Rosh Hashanah, what are you supposed to do? Where does it really come from, Mishloach Manos? Mishloach Manos comes from Rosh Hashanah. It says from, it says, yeah, 100%, we learned what it says. Nehemiah. Nehemiah gave them Musar to Klal Yisrael. It was Rosh Hashanah. It's a pasuk, it's a very short pasuk in Sefer Nehemiah. And the people were severely depressed. And he told them, listen, don't be depressed. Don't be depressed. Cheer up. It's going to be good. I gave you Musar and we have a lot of problems over here. But I'm going to be mechazek you. Everyone cheer up, and everyone should now go give gifts to his friend. When Chazal came along and they made takonis, we discussed this, they don't just make takonis out of nowhere. They don't just go make oh, where does Mishloach Manos come from? It's not in the Torah. It's a new concept. They just make new halachas chachamim. They pull out of thin air. No such thing. Everything that the Chazal did was taken from their predecessors. The Nusach HaTfilah is taken from the words of the Nevi'im. Every single dot in the Siddur was taken from Tanakh. There's no exception. If you can't find this, because we don't understand, but it's every single word. Nothing was new. They were very creative, the Chachamim, extremely creative. But when it came to the Nusach HaTfilah and it came to mitzvahs, they didn't go and abuse their power. They took only the old. They just took from the old and they incorporated into what we do. When it comes to a mitzvah, when Chazal make a mitzvah, they don't make new mitzvahs. Every mitzvah they make is built upon an old mitzvah. When you go, halakas haneiros, neiros chanukah. Well, there's halakas haneiros for Shabbos. And halakas haneiros for Shabbos comes from the Mishkan, you light the coin lights, then the ner. Everything goes back to, you have to find in the car, to something earlier. To something an older takana, another takana. And likewise, Mishloach Manos, where does it come? It comes from Rosh Hashanah. What's Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is basically Shushan Purim. It's Shushan Purim. And on Purim, the two go together, obviously. But when we observe, Purim, think of it like this. We observe Purim. We're very makrit to give cover to the people living in Shushan Purim. By bringing Mishloach Manos, Ish L'Re'ehu, that is a zecher for Yerushalayim in many ways. Why? Because when Klal Yisrael returned to Eretz Yisrael, where were they? They were in Yerushalayim, Yerakodesh, and they were depressed. They were sad. And Nehemiah said, don't be sad. Hashem himu uschem, their beautiful psuk there, don't be sad, be happy. They were in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, and they were sad. And Nehemiah says, here you are in Yerushalayim, what are you sad about? You did Averos? Okay, you'll do Teshuvah, you'll be okay. Don't be upset. everyone now, gladden your heart, ki Hashem himu uschem, and everyone should send gifts umshloach manos le'ein nochoin loy. Yerushalayim, Rosh Hashanah, Simcha. When we celebrate Purim, so we think, wait a minute, we're celebrating Purim, but the people in Yerushalayim, they're not celebrating today. They're celebrating on Yom Tesvav. So it's not nice. How could it be that in Golos, how could it be such a halacha that people who are in Golos, in Chutz La'aretz, can celebrate a holiday at a time when Achenu B'nei Yisrael living in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh are not celebrating? That's not the Jewish way. The Jewish way is that in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, they're the Iker with the Tofel. We're going to celebrate and they're not celebrating? Don't tell me that tomorrow they'll celebrate. So we'll celebrate both. I mean, so we'll wait until tomorrow to be with them, to celebrate with them. How could it be that they're not going to celebrate? That's right. When you celebrate, your celebration is rooted in the simcha, the me'uschem of Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. When was your zman when Yerushalayim was nehepach le'evel liyontif? Nehemiah. The people were in a matzav of avelus, and he told them, cheer up, guys. Be besimcha. Mishloach monos ish l'reyeyu. The mitzvah of mishloach monos, which is for the purpose, according to them, is food for the su'udah, is all to connect to Yerushalayim. And when in Yerushalayim did this happen? On Rosh Hashanah. What is Rosh Hashanah? What do you do on Rosh Hashanah? You take out the Karen. The Karen is to go on the offense. The Eilet Tinagach. The Karen is the tool that the axe uses, the power to go fight, not on the defense, to go fight. But Purim is all about being on the defense. Exactly. We're on the defense in Golos. That's why we celebrate Yud Dalet. But we acknowledge that the time will come when we're not going to be Nebuchs and just have to go and sit back and guard and watch our back. The time will come when we'll be on the offense. We'll be like Yerushalayim and allow the Simcha. It all is connected one to the other. Yom HaKippurim, it's Kippurim. Purim is defense. This Purim, what do we do on Yom Kippur? We are under attack from the Satan. We're on the defense. So Sach HaKol, there are always two. A lot of this is just rooted in what Rav Kotler said. Chaim Tuchaimun is right in front of me. Wherever you go, you're haunted by the ghost of Chaim.
I get back to them all the time.
I was just there this. Why? Davening every single day, Baruch Hashem. I was there today, Baruch Hashem. Okay, but.
I want to tell something.
Yes.
When he says. From Pasuk Bet, Hashem Chizki, Hashem Tzadki, Umtzudati, Umfati, Tzuri. This is his history. From the time that he met Shaul, this is what happened. Hashem Chizki, he fought Goliath. He said, Ani ba elecha b'shem Hashem Tzvakot. He is my strength. Not Cherem Chanit and so forth. He threw the stone, Hashem Chizki. And then he goes, Hashem Tzadki. There was when he was Shaul was chasing him. It was Sela Machlakot. It was a Sela, a place that behind the Sela something happened there. And then it says Mitzudati comes from Inat Said. Sad. He wanted to catch him, but Hashem is Mitzudashelo against Said. He could not catch him. Shaul could not catch him because we just finished with Shaul by Pasuk HaKodem. Mitzudati. Mefalti, when he was in Achish Melech Gad, they caught him there. And he became like crazy, whatever. So he said, Chasar Shubayim, he's coming away. Who did this? Hashem. Okay. Mefalti, and he goes and Suri. So we is done my rock. The dancing and Echeser Bo, the Machase, I can hide under it. Each one is a different according to what happened to him since recent history. I think that's why he uses all these expressions. It's not synonym. It's simply his history. And the same thing with Am Yisrael, we'll do the same thing. It's a different situation.
Okay, excellent. Okay, excellent. You have to be a bucky. We're not all such experts in Tanakh to appreciate all the different stories. Okay, but let's touch upon something. I want to touch upon something what you really alluded to. Okay, what Rav Kalman really alluded to is what it says over here in the Radak. Okay, let's just look at the Radak. And the Radak takes note that there are 10 words here. Look at the Radak on page 141. On page 141 in the Radak, we go all the way down with a medrash. The beginning here of the paragraph on page 141, before before it says the Minchas Erev, before Pasuk Dalet, uve medrash lefi shenaflu lefnei David asara soinim gibarim. Okay, there were 10. Page 141 in the Radak. Right before Pasuk Dalet. Before Pasuk Dalet is a paragraph that begins with the word Uve Medrash. Lefi, Shenaf Lufnei David Asoda Soinim Gibardim. If you calculate, the sort of Kalman was alluding to, if you go and you study the entire Sefer Shmuel, you will discover David had 10 major enemies. Okay, 10. And because David prevailed over all 10 of these major enemies, Kilsoi Beshirazu Ba'asara Kilusim. Wow, he counts, there are 10 different words. There is Sali, Umitsudasi, Umafalti, Kaili, Tsuri, Echesavo, Magini, Karen, Yishi, and Miskabi. Okay, I counted, there are 10 different words. There are 10 words which reflect an expression of praise, of salvation. The Eluhain, Asod, and who do they correspond to? So this gives us incredible insight. You can probably spend a whole week on this, trying to analyze all these things over here. Who are the 10 enemies? Shaul, Doyeg, Achitoifel, Sheva ben Bichri, Shim ben Gera, Ushloishes, Ache Golias, the Golias, the Ishmitri, Shiko Oiso ben Oyo ben Yoyoda, Chamisha mi Yisrael. Now break it down even further. 5 of his enemies were Jews and 5 were Gentiles. Chamisha mi Yisrael, the Chamisha mi Umas Oilam. The Elohein Asar Kilusin, Chizki, Sali, Mitsudasi, Mifalti, Keili, Tsuri, Machasi, Magini, Keren, Yishi, Miskabi. Unbelievable. Okay, this commentary over here is worth it's priceless. The analysis. There are 10 words. David over here, the Radak knows Tanakh literally on his fingertips. And he tells you the 10 enemies. That each one of these words corresponds to that enemy. Therefore, if you really want to have an appreciation of what a word means, you study each one of these episodes with all of its nuances, and then you look at the word, this word, one word perfectly defines the nature of the salvation from that particular enemy. And then what's very important is don't make any mistake and think that the Jews are better than the Goyim. Of course they are, but when it comes to problems, people have all different types of problems, and David had 5 major issues with Jews and 5 issues with Gentiles. So you don't know who your friends are. You got to be very careful. Don't make any mistake. There are 5 Jews. Incredible, an enormous
Jews
amount of...
more dangerous because you don't...
Certainly. Roiv Ganve Yisrael. Roiv Ganve Yisrael. You got to be careful. Watch out, from the internal, what's internal power fighting is usually worse than the external. All right, let's see the Mitzudais on this pasuk.
I thought the Malbim would say something on the word Sali, because Sali is not like a rock, it's like the rock of Gibraltar.
Oh, there are different types of rocks. Okay, okay, let's finish up. Let's finish up what's over here, pasuk Gimel, the Mitzudas Dovim. Hashem Sali, Hashem Lila Machsa, Kibinyan Hasloim, V'cham Mitzuda. Hashem is a refuge, like rock, strong material, and like a fortress. The Karen Yishi Huli Liyesha. The Ezra Hashem is to me as a salvation and a help. Kimoya Karen Lebal Hakernayim, like a horn. These are offensive weapons. These are oxen. They use their horns to gore. Okay, let's see Rashi. Sali, Sheazartani, Besela Hamach, Lekois, Kishayisi, Mitsumsum, Bein Shova, Anoshov. So Rashi over here is coming to point to a specific event. When David HaMelech was running away from Shova, Anoshov, he went to a location. He went to a location called the Sela Hamach Lekois. It's the name of a place. David hid in these rocks. So therefore, that's why David is using these words, Sali, Umitsudasi, as a as a reference to a specific event similar to what the Radak is referring to. Okay, b'sela hamachlekayis kishayisi mitzum, when I was mitzumsum, when I was right pressed, I was in a, between a rock and a hard place. Okay, I was in a very difficult place. When shovah anoshav litop hayis kamosh nemar v'shol anoshav oitrim el David, they encircled. He was under siege. He was under siege. He was under siege. They encircled him. Umitzu dasi l'shoyin mitzor, a fortress. Tsuri loshen sela means a rock. Echaset to seek refuge. Rabbi, what does that word mean in old French?
It says abriye, to protect or cover. I'm thinking it's similar to a briar, which is like, you know, thorns that protect the plant.
Into thorns. Interesting. Okay, barbed wire. Okay, echse boy eskase bitziloy, I will seek refuge in his shadow. This is parsha. Ki bitzel lukim hoyisa, you are in Hashem's shadow. Kinyan shenemar. Mibli machaseh chibuchu tzur, without salvation you embraced a rock. That means Hashem. Shehasloim kisui mogen l'holchei drachim, that rocks are usually a source of protection for those who travel on the road. Min haruchos u'mizerem hageshamim, from a torrent of rain. Rocks provide a stronghold, a place to protect yourself. Okay, that concludes the Rashi. We did it fine. And maybe let us finish up with one more pasuk. Ekra Hashem u'minoivai yivashea. Hashem is praised. Very much so. Mehulol ekra Hashem. This is a very deep concept over here. This idea, maybe we should leave for next time. Let me just conclude with what I want to mention. I forgot what I wanted to mention to you. Hashem Tzali Umitsudasi. There was something that I was about to tell you, and I don't remember what it is. All right, what time is it now? It's late. We're going to have to stop over here. Okay, and we will resume in a few moments with some thoughts on the Parsha. Chazak, Chazak, Venis Chazek, Parsha, Sukhude, Gemar, of Chumash Shemais.
I didn't get how you said, Mishlov Manos is related to Rosh Hashanah.
The source for Mishloach Manos is Sefer Nechemiah. And Nechemiah was speaking to the Jewish people on Rosh Hashanah. He was speaking to them. He was addressing them on Rosh Hashanah. And he told them they should give each other Mishloach Manos. So what do you see from that? That Mishloach Manos is rooted in Rosh Hashanah, of the day of Rosh Hashanah.
But then how do we use
the Chachamim took from that and they brought it into Purim.
No.
There were no gifts during the war.
And afterwards, when they sell, you know,
the rabbis made a takana that people should give the Shloach Manos on Purim.
Okay, so that happened a lot later.